Mark, welcome to the podcast. It's Kale instead. I'm Woo! Your host, Kale, and joining me as always are my two co-hosts, Mark and Cassie.
What's up?
Hey.
Oh, it's a very special episode today.
You're a little fucker. I don't say that. I've never said it's a special episode. Right. We have a very special episode today. It's our first episode of 2024. It's a new year, new us.
We took a hiatus, didn't we? To find ourselves.
Well, two little boys did claim that only pedophiles got COVID and then immediately got COVID.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
We said only pedophiles die from COVID.
No. You said you had to be a little bit of a pedophile to get COVID.
Yeah.
No, if you die.
No!
Listen, let me explain it to you eggheads at home. And this is just an idea. You know when they invented like...
COVID.
Well, yeah. Listen, I got a lot of thoughts about that as well. I blame Malta. No one's looking at Malta.
Like the country of Malta?
Is it a country?
I believe so.
Would I class that little shithole over there as a country?
Oh, I saw it once Malta. From afar.
What I'm saying is, and this is just an idea we had. It was like when they wrote, you know, things like
we were,
you know,
spitballing in the writer's room.
We were in the writer's room, you know. We were spinning on each other's balls. And then we came, we were like, Kale, wouldn't it be
yes, Mark?
Wouldn't it be the craziest shit that's ever happened if, for example, something crazy happened like COVID only killed pedophiles?
Mm-hmm.
No, look, it started on your incorrect assumption that Harvey Weinstein is dead from COVID.
But
he's
dead, right?
No.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to have a busy year.
Well, he just hasn't been sick yet.
Well, he will be.
He will. It's coming.
I want to put it on record that if Harvey Weinstein dies in 2024...
from COVID.
Lock me up, baby. Because it was me.
It was you. You just got into a meeting with him and started
coughing. Guys, I'm doing it. I'm killing him.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I just want to go out on a limb and say that I'm going to, in the year 2024, New Year's resolutions.
Wow.
Mine's to kill Harvey Weinstein.
That's big.
I feel like you could...
That's noble.
I feel like you might die this year, so...
Lock him up. Lock me up too. Just put us in the same cell, please.
Ear Hustle season 4.
Because I reckon I could take Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you guys
claimed that to get COVID, you had to have done a little bit of bad.
No, I'm saying that everyone at their core, not pedos. I'm not saying
everyone's a pedo. I've never had COVID.
You you're sick every other week. If you don't, you just don't test.
I test every 3 days for work.
Okay, all I'm saying is...
You use other people's spit and you know it.
Me and my
co-workers. You collected in a jar by your bed.
COVID was invented by the eggheads in a laboratory somewhere. And we all know this.
Silicon Valley, baby.
Yeah.
They created
COVID.
It
was an app.
Because one of the big wigs in Silicon Valley, he had just had a child. And,
right.
And the child had just been born.
Yep.
And he was looking down at this sweet little angel's face and he thought, God, I hope no one ever diddles this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's thinking, okay, yeah. Well, I literally have to stop that from happening. And so he thought, I'm going to invent a bug.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and he's used to decoding bugs.
Have you heard of nanotechnology? Because that's what it is.
So he created nanotech and he let it out into the world. And a lot of people got sick. A
lot.
And only a couple of people died. A couple of million. A couple of million did die. And we're saying, what if they...
What if?
We're just asking the question here.
Yeah.
We're just asking the question here.
So I was listening to an episode of my favorite podcast, No Matter What, on that day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That yeah. I got the text from Mark at this
Very
point.
Popular.
Kale had already tested positive for COVID. That he had COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah.
It was also the second podcast I listened to that day that really went on a about Big Milk.
Hmm?
I went on to, you guys talked about Big Milk.
Yeah, it's huge.
And
dangerous.
Then the next podcast I talked about, in the title it said Milk in all caps. And I thought, there's no way. Also talked about Big Milk.
Listen.
Look, we may not get the numbers, but the people that do listen are taking from us.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a good episode. It's the first of the year.
Speaking of milk.
Go on.
It's,
please, no.
Milky Ghost.
I don't want to have the mic off this.
It's just Milky Ghost.
Milky Ghost. It's 2024. We're going to go around the room. We're going to say our New Year's resolutions. But before we do that, we're gonna do one thing in this podcast. We're going to be a better podcast this year.
Oh.
It's 2024. This is the year that Tespa is going to become a good podcast.
Okay. Okay.
It's finally happening.
Didn't talk to me and Cassie about this before.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing.
And the first thing I think we're going to do is we're going to start bringing on our guests.
Sooner. Oh.
Because here's the thing.
I was expecting to say later.
Should we do it later?
Maybe.
I mean, we should take a poll for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll attach to this episode a poll on Spotify. So if you're not listening on Spotify, I need you to park your car.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming you're driving. Park it. Don't even pull over. Put on the hazards. Get your phone up, change it to Spotify, and I will put a poll there. And the poll will say, should we introduce our guest later or earlier in the episode?
Yeah.
And we'll let the nation decide.
Yeah. And boy, is it a nation.
But for now, I think we should introduce guests, because the thing about it is they have to sit here silently for a while. Some of them break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
This one has not. This one's a very, very good girl.
Now,
I have seen her nod, which kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah. That's also how I knew nodding. That Malta was a country. Because yeah. Mark almost gaslit
me. I clocked that too. Okay? Yeah. I didn't know what any of you were talking about.
Did you notice when I said something about like COVID coming from a lab, they were nodding really,
really hard.
Like
aggressively.
Really hard. Yeah. Their headphones fell off.
Yeah, yeah. Also, when you were talking about killing Epstein, nods all the way.
I didn't say Epstein. Ah. He's already dead.
Yeah, oh, no, right. He's
sorry,
dead.
Not Epstein. Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
We did it. He killed himself. Don't you hate it when they kill themselves?
First of all, that song goes out to the Lolita Express out there in jet heaven.
How would you fuck it? Right in.
That's all okay. Right. I can wait.
What just happened?
We have a special guest. We have a 10-time member now. I don't know. At least 7.
Five times?
Last season winner.
Currently wearing the merch.
We are joined by Kat once again, the Duchess of the Deep.
Yep. The Duchess of the Deep.
Hello. I've been bursting at the seams. I just wanted to say something about Malta, about COVID. I'm just sitting here just covered in test pilot merch.
Yeah.
Just nodding like an idiot.
Like head a little to scarecrow.
You could say she's dripping. Applause, please, audience. Sorry, they're very rude recently. They've just, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like they're half asleep. Come on.
Jet's still going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you still haven't figured out how to stop the... Woo! So what do you think about us working towards being a better podcast?
I didn't say better. I said good.
A good podcast.
No, I think that's an achievable
goal.
I could
have agreed to better.
So we're learning to sprint before we walk.
Yeah, to be good.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to aim for the stars.
That's true.
Because when you
now
shoot.
We're talking about flying. I just like, okay.
Oh yeah.
Guys, do you ever think about the fact that John Lennon's been dead for longer than he was alive for?
No.
No, not really. I think more about Malta.
Should we give Kat a cool 2 minutes on Malta? I want to hear it.
Oh, Kat's 2 minutes?
Kat's 2 minutes there about Malta.
You know that means you'd be giving up your 2 minutes.
I would do that for Kat.
Wow.
And Malta.
So selfless.
And the nation of Malta.
Yeah.
What have they ever done? That's all I'm asking.
Okay. They just... My main thing about Malta is that they produce really good potatoes.
Maltese potatoes.
Best in the biz I've heard.
Now, with Maltese, is Maltese accurate?
I haven't heard
that. When I say something's Maltese, is that from Malta? Or is that not?
Like the small chocolates?
Yep. Yep, from Maltesers.
Maltesers.
Yeah,
Maltesers. Yep. They're from Malta. Maltesers? Yep. Maltesers? Yeah. Is actually the correct pronunciation.
Maltesers.
And the Maltese dog, is that from Malta as well?
From Malta as well. Malt chocolate, also from Malta.
They actually produce some of the world's greatest.
They're actually doing some pretty good shit over there now that we're thinking about it.
And they're a tiny island.
Tiny
like you
island.
Can walk from one side to the other in like an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you ask us our New Year's resolutions?
Oh, can I ask you a New Year's resolution? Let's go around the circle.
Start with Kale.
Kale, what's your New Year's resolution?
Fucking to
2024.
To make this podcast better.
Make it better.
It was supposed to make it good, bro.
You know what? You're a company man, and I've always appreciated that about you. Kat, what's your New Year's resolution for 24?
Maybe I'm going to give up on learning how to swim.
No.
Yep. Stop it. I said I'd help.
No, it's been years of me trying to make it a resolution and it just hasn't happened. And so this year, what I will achieve is not doing it.
That's cool. Wow. But you've already achieved that multiple times.
Yeah, you're
going for the easy win.
Yeah.
For sure.
Applause.
Yeah.
Applause. Applause. Absolutely. But also if the difficulty is just getting in a pool, I'll do that with you tomorrow.
I've already offered, Kale.
I'm better swimming than you.
I just don't think I'm buoyant. No, I just don't feel buoyant.
You said that before, that when you try and float, you just sink.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Well, we can see.
Yes! She agreed to a lesson. Yes!
See, you watch
what
me
you
drown.
Do is you attack people to make them agree with what you want.
All right, Cassie, lay on your depressing New Year's resolution, please. Something tells me it's going to be dark.
Look, there's a lot of things I want to do for the nation of Malta. Don't get me wrong.
Dude, fuck that place. They're doing fine.
Dead serious when I say I'd really like to meet Trisha Paytas.
Okay, well, we can set that up. Trisha, if you're listening, you're not famous, so just fucking come. Who's Trisha Paytas?
It's like if someone could make that possible, because as you said, she's not all that famous.
No, I literally don't know who she is.
She's like an internet personality.
What does she do?
Not much.
Is that the? Is that
I think
the,
she had sex recently?
Is that the
on is that camera?
She's great on OnlyFans. Sorry.
Is that the cowboy person that like started the thing? The French lady.
What is he talking?
That's like
I'd actually love to hear you talk with Trisha. Just you two talking at each other, recorded.
Right.
So I think you'd be able to hear because she has like a. And you
how
have
do you know who this person is?
Everyone knows who Trisha Paytas is.
Kat's looking it up as we speak.
I don't know.
Kat's a busy lady. You have no excuse.
What's Trisha done?
Trisha's just an internet personality.
I don't Only think I've even spelt her name right because she's not
Paytas.
Coming up
to me. Paytas. P-A-Y-T-A-S.
Trish and like want, Fisher, she says.
Trisha
and your
like Fisher.
New Year's resolution is to meet this OnlyFanner.
Well, that's one thing that she does,
well,
yeah.
What else does she do?
She's an internet personality.
Okay, but like you can't keep saying that. Just like name what she's doing on the internet.
My favorite thing is when she decided to be Jewish for a little while. She wrote a song.
I mean, you've done that for years now.
I cannot even tell you how alike we are. Yeah. she wrote a song called I Love Moses and released it, but it was just a remake of her song I Love Jesus from when she was Christian.
Yeah, nice, nice.
I woke up yesterday, which was Christmas Day for those of you living.
Thank God. Count your blessings every day.
And when I remembered that it was Christmas, I thought, fuck.
Absolutely wasn't Christmas yesterday.
I think it was Christmas in America yesterday. And I thought, I hope that Trisha Paytas.
Where is she?
I
don't know where she is.
I don't know what she is.
Whatever she
has a really good day. And then evening, I went on TikTok.
Well, she wouldn't.
Why does she inspire you?
And she was talking about her day. And I thought, I'm so glad she had a good day. She doesn't inspire me. Okay. I get concerned for her. I want her to have a good life.
Okay.
Have you reached out to her?
I don't think, look, I've tried, like, I don't know how I would even begin.
I would absolutely love live on the podcast to read through your DMs on Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah, how many people have you just taken a shot at?
I want to see the shots
and
you've
no
taken.
Replies.
I want to see the shots you've taken. Because we all know the shots I take are to Tom DeLonge. Mark Hoppus. Yes.
Did you actually?
He used to always message Blink-182. And who else is in it?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
That's a good one. I bet he replied.
He never replied.
He has a group chat with them.
Snowdogs are my favorite movies.
He just created
a group
chat.
What's up, fellas? You're all my favorite guys.
Listen, I think I've discussed this on the podcast before, but what I used to do whenever I would go out and drink is on the Uber ride home or something like that, I'd pop up Cuba Gooding Jr.'s Instagram page. And I would, on all his photos, I would ask him questions about Blink-182. And so I would say, like, I'd be like, oh, man, awesome new hat. Did you prefer Miss You or, like, Adam's Song? I know they're both emotional, but which one hit you harder? That kind of thing. And he never responded. So eventually I started a group chat with all of them. And I was like, hey, guys, I just wanted to introduce you. I you might already know each other.
I love that
it
gives you that option to start a group chat with anyone that you follow.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. They never saw it, as far as I know. Can I still find that group chat, do you reckon?
Yeah, you just put all their names back and it'll come up.
You need to start a campaign where you just start looking really ill and, like, that's your cover photo. You keep posting, like, every now and then, like, another one with you, like, IV bag attached, and you just send them the message, be like, hey guys, not long left, would really appreciate a response.
Holy shit, yeah. So what I said was, so I said, any chance of a collab, dudes? And I got no response. And then, so that was on the 15th of April, 2017. And then on the 10th of June, I jumped back in the chat and I said, what's going on, guys? Thought you guys needed to chat. I got no response to to any of them, which was a shame. But yeah, no, my New Year's resolution is to meet Trish Fisher. I can't remember her name.
I think I've only shot two shots ever.
Oh, who was it to?
So I used to send some pretty weird messages to Jonah Hill.
To Jonah Hill.
Yeah, because
that's awesome.
I used to have a big old crush on him until those texts came out.
Did you ever send nudes to Jonah Hill?
No.
Okay.
And then
hashtag nudes for Jonah.
I once was like
going strong.
Guys, hashtag nudes for Jonah. Get it out there.
Yeah.
I once like came home from a party really trashed and started watching Unexpected, which is like TLC's version of Teen Mom. Mm-hmm. And I got really emotional about what a good job one of the girls was doing. And I messaged her on Instagram. Totally forgot about it when I woke up the morning. She had responded.
Oh no. Was it like a nice response though?
No, it was like, it was so earnest and fucked up. It made me want to die.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you find it for us?
What do you mean? What did she say to you?
Because I was like, I'm so proud of you and what you've done.
I'm so proud of you and what you've done.
And achieved, and she wrote back and she's like, this is really nice. I get a lot of hate mail.
Well, that's kind of nice. That's kind of a nice story.
You really are a villain lover. I'll say that.
Yeah. She's not a villain.
People
hate teen moms. I do like villains. I do. I recently watched a reality show, House of Villains,
no,
and I realized I'm
veto,
a huge villains
veto,
girl.
Veto. It's a new Vanderpump Rules. You know what? You just got to cut it off.
Is it so?
Wait, is House of Villains a Netflix one?
No. So we all agree that our New Year's resolution is to meet
shoot more
Trisha
shots.
Paytas.
I think the New Year's resolution
I'm going to shoot more shots.
Let's shoot more shots. Let's see. Let's do a weekly roundup on this podcast. The podcast that this year is going to be
great. Now
good.
You're giving me homework.
The podcast that this is 2024, the test pilot good year, where we are going to do a weekly roundup of the shots we've shot to celebrities on Instagram and how successful were the shots.
Yeah.
I think whoever gets the most wild response wins. And it's a year-long competition. And
mine only going to be to Trisha Paytas.
You're part of the competition.
Yeah, Kat, you're in
there. Have you ever shot a shot?
I've never shot a shot.
Oh, it's going to be difficult for you to start. I would start small, like local celebrities.
But I want to shoot my shot, so I'm just going to shoot
you're
it going, far.
You shoot
like,
it far.
Yeah.
Straight to Barack Obama.
Yeah, or like maybe.
Gone for a Lindsay Lohan.
Like,
ooh.
Lindsay. Let's have a Freaky Friday.
I'm just
going to
write, boy, do I have an opportunity for you, and just leave that there and see if she takes the bait.
I have two questions, Lindsay. Question number one, are you scared of making money? Question number two, would you like to make money?
I'm offering you business.
I just want to say for the record, because I looked it up the other day, Trisha mm-hmm. Paytas' cameo is one of the most
no
expensive on the website. It's
no
one of the
one
most
asked.
Expensive on the website.
We don't even know who she is.
What's the most expensive?
Trisha Paytas is one of the most expensive
how much
cameos.
How much is she charging?
$500.
But that's ridiculous because she sets the price. I don't think
she gets a ton.
But okay,
dude, I can go on Cameo and be literally the most expensive one on there.
Yeah, right, but now. No one would pay for you. She's had hundreds.
Can anyone
hundreds.
Go on Cameo and upload a cameo? Can anyone be on Cameo?
There's got to be a limit.
I assume
right?
there's got to be a verified thing.
But no, I don't think there would be because as if someone's job at Cameo is to be like, because people
and
get there
I've seen
really
people on
low.
There that should have been cut there.
Yeah.
It's true. Like one of the people in a reality show I like and will not name, their brother is on it and he's been in like one episode.
Yeah,
and I'm like, good. So if there was someone doing that job, they're doing it badly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Test Pilot, the podcast where you may as well watch the whole show instead. What do we do? If you're jumping in, if your New Year's resolution was to listen to good podcasts, well.
Mm, welcome.
Welcome.
Whoopsie daisy.
Because this is actually.
Also, if your resolution was to open a podcast, get it playing and then skip to about, I don't know, 14 minutes into the opening episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Then
probably
welcome.
About 14. Welcome.
You've made it.
What
Congratulations.
What do we do on this podcast? Well, we're what you would call a podcast where we watch a show, a pilot episode every week, and then we talk about it.
It's a long title, but that's how
it's
I
essentially
describe
what
it,
yeah. we do. And this week, should we jump into some fast facts and start talking about the show that we're doing this week?
Yeah.
The show we're doing today is Ghost Whisperer. It aired from 2005 to 2010, had 5 seasons with 107 episodes.
Wow.
Overall on IMDb, this show has a 6.5, and the pilot episode, titled Pilot, has a 7.4.
Oh, I just... Something has just clicked with me with the name Ooh. Of the pilot.
Yeah.
And the show itself.
Oh.
It's just clicked. It is literally just clicked.
You took my one and only note.
Very.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Very clever.
I didn't write that down.
Now that is clever. And Cassie,
and that's
I can't
the kind
wait
of
you
cleverness
to,
you can expect.
I can't wait for when you figure it out when we talk about it later on
I'm
in the episode.
So confused. Oh, because yeah.
She's lying. She's lying right
she
now.
Does
she
does not know.
No, because he was a pilot.
Yeah. 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 Now Ghost Whisperer.
Spoilers, dude. What the fuck are you doing?
Trying to make this a good podcast.
I'm sorry.
No more jumping around, guys.
Now Ghost Whisperer is a show that I have never in my life seen a minute of.
Is there a show called Horse Whisperer? Or there are people that are horse whisperers, so they took that and they made it about ghosts.
Was the term Ghost Whisperer already a thing?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
And then there was the show, or was it the show and then people were like...
Well, there was also...
And what Kat a good really podcast would have researched this beforehand.
And what Kat really wants to know is, did Ghost Whisperer come before Horse
Whisperer?
There's
nothing else we can do now.
What about Dog Whisperer?
Exactly.
Caesar Milan. Is this part of the Whisperverse? Is what I'm asking.
Ooh. We can definitely start the Whisperverse.
We'll have to dive into the Whisperverse a little more deeply on a different podcast at some point.
Maybe you're going to bring us some shit.
No, what's going on?
You were about to ask if I'd seen it before.
Have you even imagined a world in which you would have watched an episode of Ghost Whisperer?
Yeah, because it used to be on at like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. on 7.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So my mom used to like it. Yeah.
You've watched Ghost Whisperer Cat quite a bit.
I've seen. My mom was into like the supernatural stuff. Well, I was into the supernatural stuff. Mum was into like the mum supernatural stuff, which is Ghost Whisperer, Medium.
Yeah. Oh,
is that
I
the, with, the
Medium.
With the blonde woman?
Yeah.
That's Medium?
Patricia. Yeah.
I remember that one.
Based on the character she plays. It's not like based on her.
No, but we saw her in another show.
Alison Dubois.
Thank you.
Dubois. Alison Dubois.
She's in an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that Mark
really?
Loved.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know anything about The Ghost Whisperer. I didn't do any research into this show.
I mean, I learned a lot from this episode, I'll tell you that.
Well, I didn't learn enough. If I'm being honest, right. I was confused a lot throughout this episode. Not confused. I was at no point confused. Like, because I'm.
I think you were confused. He seems kind of flustered.
He's very smart.
All I'm saying. All I'm saying.
He's a little flustered by this one.
Listen, what the fuck is a ghost?
Yeah.
What just happened?
It is what it is.
We open on a little girl. A little girl walking in a funeral parlor, mm-hmm. I guess, at a funeral. She's accompanied by the incomparable June Squibb, and they're walking down.
Was that actually June Squibb?
It was Squiblod. It was the Squiblod.
Yeah. It was a confirmed Squibb sighting.
Yeah.
They were bizarre, like, cameos.
Yeah, the cameos are weird and crazy.
Yeah, like, everyone in this became big.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, June Squibb's a bigger lady. She's always been a bit big.
No.
Wait, where is she from? I didn't know.
Oh, big Squibb guy.
She's like a character actor old lady.
Oh. Yeah.
You know that
But
old
there were
lady?
Two people in this playing small roles that went on to be big actors. And
there
I was
no
kind
small
of
parts.
Mind blown.
So she's walking down the funeral aisle, I guess we're going to call it on this one.
Yeah.
June Squibb trailing her. And she walks.
Just blindsiding her into this situation. It was a wild way to do this.
Yeah.
We didn't get much. We got no explanation to who
from her.
But even to the little girl, she got no explanation.
Why am I at this funeral?
Yeah. Like, honestly, if you were to tell, spoiler, a child that they had like psychic abilities, would there not be a soft conversation first? Not just like, see that guy dead.
There's a guy that opened that. This is actually invitation only. Sorry. How do you know the family?
What are you doing?
They just walk past mysteriously. It's like, what? Oh my God, they look straight through me.
Hey, little girl, do you want to come see a dead body with me? Swear to God, it's going to be the biggest moment of your life.
How do you explain it to the parents too? I've got to take little Sally
Yo,
to this funeral.
Is June Squibb her
when
grandma?
You go home?
Yeah.
You reckon? Yeah. Does she say grandma?
I reckon it's her grandma.
Or is she just an old...
That is grandma.
Wait,
it's
grandma?
It's her grandma.
Confirmed grandma.
Oh, yeah, no, because he says at one point only you and your grandmother can see me.
Okay, cool.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, so...
How does he know?
This is my gripe. This is my gripe. That's what I got really furious about. I was like, why the fuck is this happening to her?
So a little girl and an older woman are walking down the aisle of a funeral. They get to the end. There's a dead old man just lying there.
Big old top guy.
Big old.
No.
She was told to sit next to
a man.
This man.
And she said he needs our help.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I didn't watch this one.
He looked like Grimace in real life.
Oh, yeah. But I remember her standing
one
in front
of flesh
the
car.
That's afterwards. So okay. She says he needs our help. And then she walks up to the casket, looks, and it's the same dude. And she looks back at him and he's looking at her like,
and then he gets
I
up.
Dead guy.
He gets up and gets real close, gets super close and goes, hey, don't be weirded out. You're the only one and your grandmother can see me. I don't understand why he knows. Because no one else seems to know what's up.
Grandmother. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this ghost, for some reason, seems to know that these guys are the guys. Like, did he call the grandma before
he died? Because no other ghosts in the show, they're always like, can you see me? Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. But this guy's like, I know you. I know your grandmother.
And then he's like, that's my wife over there. And he gets, like, this close to her ear. And it's the tightest shot.
Yeah.
That I've ever seen.
There were a lot of tight shots.
Now that guy's getting COVID.
Maybe. I did shout, get away from her when I was watching this. Just this ghost.
Yeah, but this girl never heard of twins. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm at a funeral and some guy comes up to me and he looks the same as the guy in the casket,
I'm not jumping straight to, this
is supernatural. So I'm like, this guy's just like
your brother.
That's an incredible point. You're right.
I didn't see that.
June Scrimp's a prankster. You know that about her. You know she does that.
What a hilarious twist that would have been if then when she's repeating these things that he told her to say to a woman,
She's like, I just saw you speaking to my brother. Can you both shut the fuck up?
Is he really? He's doing that now. Kurt?
Right now?
He's in really? The casket.
What's the message he wants passed on to his wife?
He wants her to drink champagne on Fridays.
He says, tell her about the secret toast that we do to the stars and the planets in the sky. It's like, why is it a secret?
Yeah.
What are they like if they're at a party?
They just go, quick,
secret toast. And they turn their backs to everyone and go, to the sky.
No, maybe it's like a secret handshake. And it's a really cool like routine that they do with their
They link arms and then they sip at the same time.
They throw it up in the air.
Yeah, the
and
diet,
then the champagne, then they catch it behind their backs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The dialogue in this show is weird. Like, everyone talks a bit weird in this show.
Yeah.
And there's also, like, a lot of, like...
Our girl Jennifer Love Hewitt the most.
Yeah,
she has the worst dialogue.
I'm not sure if she was a producer on this episode, but if it was, maybe that would explain it.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right, so we're going to jump into... We're already into this, so, like...
Oh, we know, Kat, why'd you bring us this show?
Let's go back.
Lord, I'm doing
Cat.
I never agreed to be a better podcast.
Cat, do you remember shut up about the old man for a second, Cat? We want to know why you brought us this show.
What old man?
Okay, so
there's a dead man, Cassie.
We already got into the
His
show.
Wife and him praise the moon.
He died to weight related issues. Clearly.
His twin brother is in a casket.
He was taken by diabetes. It's tragic. Now, why'd you bring us this?
I actually wanted to bring Medium.
But then we went for large instead, am I right? Am I right? We went for large instead. Them titties.
Them titties.
He said it. It's all about the tits. Because I would say that.
He's been texting us back.
I would say that Medium is first class. If you're on a plane, first class when it comes to icing the dead.
I got it mixed up. But anyway, I was at my mom's house.
You actually gave us the wrong thing.
I was at my mom's house and we were. I don't know, we're having a family dinner or something and we wanted to watch a movie. They still have a DVD player.
Oh, hell yeah.
How embarrassing. Like, yeah. Should we all just shit on them real quick?
Yeah, okay, we're poor. Okay, poor alert.
Real wild from someone that doesn't have a TV.
Yeah, surely you mean Blu-ray, right?
I just like its functions. You know, it's got great menus. Yeah.
And so
the scene, extra features.
Scene select? Come on.
Guys.
I do miss the menu. But anyway, okay.
Just before we go too much further, I know there's a lot of punking you right now, but like special features are something that we've really lost from the DVD era.
The second DVD? The second DVD, you know, you got DVD one and then
special
DVD
features,
two.
As well as audio commentary.
DVD one.
What? Audio commentary.
DVD two.
Audio commentaries were the absolute shit back in the day. And like you could rewatch a movie and you could like hear the director and the actors talk about it.
Yeah.
That shit's gone now. They didn't put any effort in
it. And some of them
anymore.
Had like games on them things.
I say
like,
it had games. I cherished Superbad's special features. Seeing all their behind the scenes and everyone hates Michael Cera is hilarious.
Mm. Have you... A really good audio commentary to listen to is the Armageddon audio commentary from the film Armageddon.
I would never even watch the film.
Shut it down. But, mute yourself.
But that's what's so good about it is because Ben Affleck does the audio commentary and spends the entire time just shitting on the movie. Like it's so good. There's a scene where like he just starts explaining the plot to the movie and he's just like, yep. So this is a movie where an asteroid is coming to Earth. And the plot of this movie is that it's easier to teach oil riggers to be astronauts than it is for astronauts to use a drill. That's this whole movie.
Yeah. And well, they had to get someone fit for the job. You know?
It's really good. Why are we doing Ghost Whisperer?
Oh.
We have a DVD.
A DVD has
appeared.
Yeah. So I was going to put, I don't know, a Disney movie on or something. And so I... ejected the DVD player to put in
because the remote's missing because we've lost the remote at this point.
And Ghost Whisperer came out. That is the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, and then I was delivered by the god.
Did a spirit escape as you ejected it as well?
All the lights turned off. It's
Kale. Play me.
All the lights turned off. All the windows open.
Oh, that is so funny.
And just a pair of jugs floated towards you.
Fucking hell. That's the best way to get shows from now on. I'm gonna go out and I'm
random people's homes.
Dude, I'm gonna go out to like op shops and I'm gonna buy DVD players and just press eject.
Oh no, dude, go door to door. Excuse me, ma'am. Do you have a DVD player? Mind if I come in and just hit the eject button real quick?
Oh, you got to shoot your shot.
It was the DVD of Medium.
But we're doing Ghost Whisperer.
But I got it mixed up, so we're doing Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah, they're really similar names.
Well, like, I'm really bad at telling stories, so I really should have like built up some...
Nope, that was the best story that's ever been told.
Who could have guessed that pressing the eject button was the punchline? I don't know, but it was.
I'd say we could do Medium another time, but Mark and I have already used all our Medium content now.
Yeah, yeah.
We only had that.
Medium? I was gonna bring in the large. You see them titties?
That was a switch.
Just be thanks, so guys. Glad you're not in the group chat. Yeah. It's awful in there.
No, I'm just saying that she's got big boobs.
Yeah.
No, you said it.
You're just trying to clarify that Jennifer Love Hewitt has a heavy set.
Yeah. Some people call them heavies. I wouldn't. No. But
I believe
a lot
you
of
have.
People. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I call them Big Milk.
Yeah. If we're talking about Big Milk.
Big Milk. Yeah.
They're not your Coke bottles, I'll tell you that for free. Double gallons over here.
What's the deal with that?
Hey,
doing a tight five over here.
All right, so let's talk about this girl who's just seen her first dead man.
Let's break it down.
So the dead man comes up to her and he's like, "Hey, I need you to tell my wife something." And June Squibb the whole time's like, "You do it, kid."
Just smiling and
"Hey, kid, nodding. I know I can help, but I'm not gonna." Yeah. Okay, I've brought you to the dead man. You figure it out.
She just drown the kid. Have a soft conversation
and
beforehand.
This guy who's like, let me drop some context on you to the little girl. They have a conversation that probably lasts for about 2 or 3 minutes. It's safe to assume a line is forming behind them now of just people who are actually here to see their dead relative.
Yeah. Hey, I want to see the dead guy.
Buddies.
But yeah, he's like, pass on a message, please, to my wife so that she's not sad. So What's one thing that brings joy to your heart? It's a creepy little girl who has no expression on her face at all, morbidly telling you, he's dead and he's stone behind me. He just wants you to know that you should keep toasting by yourself to the sky.
To secretly. The stars. Yeah. I'm so scared now.
This lady's like, you've been watching us? You've been watching that secret? That's a secret.
The woman's response is perfect. I expected like her to hug her or something. She just cries. Yeah. She looks distraught.
Yeah.
And then she stares at Squibb, staring at nothing. And she's like, it's real, I guess.
Hold on a second. Yeah. There's a small kid. Oh, old woman?
Two? Wow.
This must be real.
Who invited them? Are they on the list?
First question.
Who
are you?
And then we do a pretty hard cut from there to... fuck the rest of the years.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting up to the wedding day.
That's right.
Mm. Jennifer Love Hewitt marrying man.
Did Jim. Anyone paramedic.
Get... Jim.
Jim.
Jim the paramedic.
Jim the paramedic. They're getting
paramedic salary.
Okay, we're gonna go deep into the salaries soon because a lot of things in this episode.
She works in an antique store. Yeah, he's a paramedic.
You gotta skip the honeymoon for that paramedic salary.
How did they afford that house?
Yes. He owns the antique store.
He built it himself.
She owns the antique store. As someone who came from a family where we owned a secondhand bookstore, that's just pissing away money.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So you're asking for like poverty.
Dead.
She's getting married to a paramedic. This is going to come up a lot in this episode. And they're having their first dance at the wedding. And they're having a lovely old dance. As they're dancing, she looks over at the window and it starts to fog up. Fogs up and then eventually some writing. And this bit I was like,
A compass is drawn by a hand that is unseen.
And this is a weird show because at this point, I guess it's playing spooky, but at its core, nothing in this show is spooky because she does this every day.
No, yeah. But she still gets incredibly rattled, which I found insane. And I also like that she has this real reluctance to help any of these people. Like, she really doesn't want to.
I just
want to
do it with my antiques.
I found that charming. I found the fact that every time a dead person showed up, she pretended not to see them. So charming. Yeah. That was the best part of the show.
It's quite real.
Every time, yeah. And it's how you would do. Yeah.
A compass is drawn on the window and her Jim, the paramedic, he clocks it. He clocks her scene and he's like, and I thought this was going to be like
a... He doesn't clock the drawing. He
sees her seeing it. He's like,
because they're dancing and she just stops moving and stares for about 30 seconds.
Imagine how annoying she must be to be with this going on all the time.
Sorry, go on, Mark. What were you?
Well, I just think certain things about her would make it worth it.
Are they two things?
Guys, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
She's just joking around about boobs.
It's like her personality and her intelligence.
So she's looking at it and I...
Is that their nicknames?
Yeah, that's what I call mine.
He clocks her looking at it and he's like, oh, do you... And I thought this would be like a sore point. Like, he'd get angry at her, but he doesn't. But he's like, do you see something right now?
Imagine if he got furious at that wedding. He's like, are you looking at ghosts again? Is he handsome?
I can't find any of them.
Are you talking to a romantic ghost? I've seen the movie. You'll make no clay pots.
Oh, for sure. But like, let's be honest. There's got to be a ghost romance at some point in this show, right?
You think she's going to fuck a ghost? What are we
doing if she doesn't fuck a ghost?
She doesn't fuck a ghost.
She 100% fucks a ghost in this show.
I don't think
I am putting money down, right? Because Jim's going to
die. When Jim dies, yeah.
Jim's totally going to die.
You fuck
right?
Ghost Jim.
But I thought Jim would die when he was on the ladder, so I gave
I thought,
up.
Dude, I, oh, yeah. Every minute Jim was Stupidest in this episode, scene. I assumed there was a sniper off screen.
But I feel like the writers were just baiting that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah.
It's so obvious he's going to die that they're going, is it now?
Because I watched this last week and then these two were texting me, honestly, about an hour ago being like, if Jim doesn't fucking die, I'm like, you're in for a real disappointing time.
Positive Jim would die this episode.
Oh, for sure.
But
I was positive the second time I watched it. Yeah, for some reason, I felt like something would change.
So Jim is at the wedding and he's like, oh, did you see something? And she's like, yeah. Nothing's going to ruin our
immediately I'm annoyed. So Jim is 100% on board.
Yeah.
Just, yep. Yeah, ghosts are real and my wife can see them. Right.
Yeah. He's
had years to like get to know it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I find it more bizarre that the girl wasn't screaming and crying in the funeral.
How long would it take you for you to be like, my partner can see ghosts?
Listen, it would a lot. Like, because of the...
Like how many...
How's the proof happening?
How many times
I mean?
Do you have to witness her saying, I know that they're dead and they're telling me to tell you that it's okay and check your pants. The keys are probably on the counter. You know, like how many of those instances would it take for you to be like, you know what? Maybe she is
like
on something.
Like a lot because like I'm not doing that many things. You know what I mean? right. I'm not doing little puzzles in my entire life. So like there's not that many puzzle solutions happening.
Right.
So like if she's coming with me with like a lot of puzzle solutions, I'm like, sure. Okay. Something's going on here. But what are the messages? Like the message is I'm going to have to see her solving other people's life puzzles.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing that much.
Sure.
Like the most she's going
to
do.
You don't have that many dead relatives that you were super close to. Coming to visit you.
Like what's
she
going to be doing? Being like, she's going to like spoil the end of a show for me. And I'm just going to assume she already saw it. You know
well,
what
she
I mean?
Googled it.
Yeah. Like especially with Google nowadays, like and Facebook and social media, like what are we doing?
But would you think she was lying to you or that she'd lost her mind?
I mean, a little from category A and a little from category B. I think that she's lost her mind and is really, or just doing a good prank.
That like, last, to be honest, years, like, last it, years at this stage.
Like I could see myself going along with it.
Oh, you would go
and
along
being
with
like,
it
yeah,
away.
You know, like I can, you know, maybe you're just more in touch with like emotions and you feel things really strongly. But he's like He's this like, is your business. This is your job.
Think about from the day you met Mel, she has been telling you about this.
Yeah.
At this point, you'd believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but are they monetizing this shit?
No.
Like, are they monetizing this shit at all?
No.
No, what they should be.
Wait, you wouldn't leave someone? Would you have gone down on one knee and proposed to Mel if for 10 years she was saying to you, I don't know.
If Mel is every bit of the person she is, but then also just sometimes claims she sees dead people, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I get that. I guess I can't assume that someone's claiming they see dead person isn't every bit the same person.
Yeah,
if you know what
that's
I mean.
All I'm saying. Yeah.
If it's the exact same person and also, ooh, I see ghosts, sure.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I did not catch the antique store plot line, and I thought they ran a
it's literally a split second
ghost
if
business.
You, and if you right
and
a ghost business that she just doesn't want to do.
Yeah, why is Aisha Tyler there? Why does she have an employee?
I mean, like, we all know why
she
Aisha
calls
Tyler
her boss
there.
Once and then for the rest of the episode she's just her friend.
Yeah, but you can't just pay your friend to hang out in your store with their
customers. Yeah, but she's like, yeah, she's also never there, but she's not really running a ghost business.
So what
really,
I thought Aisha Tyler worked for her in the ghost business.
Yes.
And was like, she did the typing. She did the ghost typing. You know what I mean? Like
she kept the case notes.
Yeah. So like Jennifer Love Hewitt would come back and be like, we've got a big ghost case today. And Aisha Taylor would be like, well, I'll bring the keyboard.
I'd fucking do that job. It's like, yeah, sure. Just keep feeding me these stories.
But am I not wrong to say that's kind of a better show if she has a ghost business? Like, that's better than an antique store. Well, she just keeps fucking falling into ghost stories. In this version, she's doing ghost shit.
Well, she should be more like ghost Sherlock Holmes. In this one episode, I want to say like six.
I just think that she's going to keep getting antiques and then they'll have like residual ghost energy.
And then
people, you know. But we're jumping so far ahead.
Yeah, we haven't even talked
about
the wedding dance.
There's a compass on the window, you guys.
There's a compass on the window.
It's a mist compass.
It's made of mist. I think we do see a little bit of spooky face here as well.
Yeah, he kind of glances at it really quickly.
And
supportive Jim's like, what did you see? Hey, just tone it down a little.
Babe, I noticed you looking over at a window.
Fucking love that creepy goth shit you do.
Is that a ghost? She's not even a goth. She should be a hot ass goth in this as well. Like, she should be like the NCIS.
Abby.
And so Jim fucks off eventually because he's like, my wife is doing her weird shit again. And then eventually Jim's brother comes up to her. He's dressed as you would for a wedding. And he comes up to her and they have a little conversation about old Jimmy boy. Because Jim,
I want to point out something that she says to him.
Jim's stressing at work.
This is an inconsistency.
Go for it.
He talks about how Jim's actually really great paramedic, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you should tell him that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How?
How would he have done that?
Does she say that or does she say he'd really love to hear that from
you? No, she says, you should tell him that. And he's like, I'm telling you.
I'm giving it to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that was just for who knows.
Well, listen, at this point they're not riding. They're riding for the reveal later on, pretty much.
Yeah, but still it has
yeah
to
but
be
that
consistent,
line is very
bitches.
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kat.
So basically Jim's been having
we've established that ghosts have the power to draw on windows, maybe. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's true.
Riding it up.
Just one letter at a time. The brother's just going, ah! Screaming quickly.
The ghost is just like, ah!
Honey, it's happening to me. I'm using up all of my ethereal energy.
Yeah. And every time he kind of gets a note out, it's fading. He's like,
I hope he fucking sees it this time.
This really cryptic thing
he's
with,
never
I could just tell you
windows.
What it is.
He like does this every day. He's just never looked up.
Yeah.
So Jim's having a tough time at work. He's a paramedic, ended up.
He lost someone recently.
He lost someone recently, and it's been a bit hard for him. And that's when Jim's brother comes and talks to.
No, it's the first time that anyone's ever died. How long has this guy been a paramedic?
A week.
That anyone's ever died. Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
On hit. Right.
No, this is
in
the
this
first.
Universe.
No, there's been two deaths. It's the old man.
Yeah.
And then that guy that the paramedic didn't say.
There's a twist later on, and he's like. And he's like, I lost a guy today. And she's like, what was his name? And he's like, old man from funeral at start of episode. That was him. time in this universe is not linear.
Yeah.
I'm actually your dad. So
where's Tibby?
The brother's talking and he tells a story, and his story's basically like, in college I took a header off a building once, and he's like, Don't ask me how. And I got really, really hurt, broke every bone in my body. I didn't even know I had that many bones. This is where the dialogue's weird.
Like,
I was like, the way he's talking is very odd here. And then he's like, but then my brother came and he helped me, and he stood near me, and like,
he has the power to take all of your fear away. Is basically the thing. It's like that, and that's why he's great at what he does.
Yeah. And that's why he's good for you, because you see ghosts all the fucking time.
Yeah. And so I guess that's the wedding, though. Like, we don't get much more at the wedding, do we?
Well, yeah, then you see Creepy Face in the same window where they wrote the message.
Yeah, it's but like, again,
just pick a different place, guy.
But again, it's not that creepy, because that's like what she does is see ghosts.
Yeah, so like, she always seems rattled.
No, but she says it's never really come that close to her before, or like come into the house.
Yeah.
She does say that later. She's like, you're not letting my house.
Well, yes. And also I think it's, they rarely like.
I say that to these two.
They seek her out. They don't seek her out. Although, except for the fat guy at the start, who immediately was just like, "You guys can see me."
By the way, I figured that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know what it was?
What was it?
So you know how she has to see the people first and explain things to them, then she comes around to what needs to be done. I'm thinking that June Squibb had met this man before.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, and then she was like, I'm going to do it, but I'm also going to bring my granddaughter because it's time to fuck that bitch up.
Yeah, so he was like, oh, yeah, I just died. Yeah, bad week. Really bad week, actually. He's like, can you just go pass a message on to my wife? And she's like, and June Squibb's like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
no, Squibb's like, I'll do it, but I want to prank my granddaughter first. By getting her to sit next to you and then have a sick reveal twist that you're in the casket.
And he's like, actually, no, we honestly don't even have to wait to the funeral. If anything, that's going to be a bit weird.
Bit on the nose.
I miss out on my nibblies? Hell no.
So you doing it at the funeral might actually cause a scene, because I have no idea how my wife's going to react to this. We'll just go around to her house right now and we'll just do it now. And then
just had a thought. Like, if the wife didn't even know who June Squibb was and this little girl, my immediate thought would be that woman has turned up to my dead husband's funeral.
Right.
A woman I've never met. A woman the same age as me.
Yeah.
Who knows about our secret toast?
Who knows about our secret toast?
Yeah. For sure.
Comes with a small child.
How is that possible?
Is that his daughter?
Is that his mistress?
Mistress and daughter.
Oh my goodness.
How old do you think June Squibb stayed fertile?
Definitely 2 years younger than that other one.
I actually reckon June Squibb still is fertile.
Yeah.
And I think she is still with us.
Shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot, baby.
I'm jumping in.
One thing we didn't mention about the end of the fat guy scene at the start is that he then mysteriously disappears into a creepy cupboard.
Yeah.
He just walks into the shadows.
That's where the light was for him.
Just a walk-in wardrobe.
So we're done with the wedding, and now we're jumping into the life and times of
Jim and
Jennifer
Jen.
Love Hewitt.
What's Jennifer Love Hewitt's name in this?
Ghost Whisperer.
Melissa.
It's a confusing thing, is because the show is called The Ghost Whisperer, but she is in the show a ghost seer.
Name one
fucking time she whispers.
That's true.
Name one whisper.
She doesn't actually. They whisper to her. It's not called ghost whisperers.
Right, you're right. I stand back. A lot of people whispered at her.
And like dog whisperers are someone that like can like get dogs to do stuff.
From what I've seen, you pinch them on the neck, and that's the whisper.
So is she like, is she making the ghost do things that she wants them to?
Like sit.
Yeah, but she should.
If anyone ever pinched my dog on the neck, I would destroy their entire life.
I'm pinching your dog. We've had a funeral. We've had a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time just to get into their lives. Now, their lives are... Was this Aisha Taylor at this wedding?
Who?
Aisha Taylor?
Aisha Tyler.
No.
She wasn't at the wedding?
No, she's an employee. She wasn't invited.
So Jim...
Bro, she's our only friend.
Did you guys also clock that scene where Jim is just... It's a road in the dark, and there's no other cars on the road, and there's this man
carrying
this woman from... I don't know how far they had been walking.
No, but
like
she said something like, oh, you're supposed to do it from the door, not the street.
Yeah, but the street is like a highway.
I'm like, motherfucker, why'd you even park so far away from your house?
You guys don't.
There's a spot. You have a driveway for one thing, and there's a spot out there.
You guys
front.
Don't blindfold your significant others and just kind of walk them around.
Walk them for about I don't have one, and that's why.
Daisy, you've never blindfolded Daisy, just sort of carried her around.
But also the house that he has brought her to. That is a construction site still. That is not
we're at the antique shop.
That
right
was
now, though,
unsafe.
That was not safe.
Well, we're not quite there. I mean, we can jump around a little bit if we want, because the antique shop, nothing really... I guess.
Well, she picks up the compass.
Yeah, okay. So before we get to... which, by the way, it's not your fault that you've described this in the wrong way. It's the episode itself is structured in the wrong way.
Is that not what happened next?
No, it doesn't happen next. Because
are you serious?
No, you'd assume that after
they didn't go from the wedding... He didn't carry her from the wedding. And they changed halfway during the war.
But that literally makes more sense.
I thought you thought too, yeah.
No, it makes more sense for it to be that way. Because what happens, the structure of this episode goes like this. They get married and then... they go home to separate houses, let's assume, because at this point she's not been to her new house.
Oh, of course. Okay?
So we have to assume that after the wedding, they probably went back to one of their apartments, let's assume. We don't see that.
He immediately jumped in the back of an ambulance. Because she went to work.
But we see from the wedding, the next scene we see is at... we go straight from the wedding and the next scene that we see is at the antique store with Aisha Taylor. Aisha Taylor, and they're basically talking about their business. Aisha's like, isn't it weird that you're not going on a honeymoon? And she's like, we don't have honeymoon money. I run an antique store and he's a paramedic.
She said it was either go on a honeymoon or not pay you, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And she pretty much said
honeymoons
that.
Are overrated.
Yeah.
I guess Aisha is here to be a comic relief in a way because she's a comedian. Well, she's a comedian, right, okay. So you'd assume so.
I think it's just so that Jennifer can explain something to someone.
Yeah.
Mm. And everyone in her life that's close to her accepts and knows that this is 100% factual, that she is able to see and resolve ghost issues.
Well, the thing is Aisha's getting paid, so she kind of has to.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, the first day of the job.
She hates her job.
The first day of the job was the interview and she just starts looking over Aisha's shoulder and going, your grandmother's here. She's like,
She goes home to her husband. She's like, look, the woman's a psychopath, except like there's just not
really
jobs out
money.
There.
Yeah.
Nobody comes in the store. I haven't sold a single thing. I just go in there and dust whenever she shows up.
As you said, Kale, and I didn't really pick up on it because in my mind, they weren't at an antique store. They were at a ghost business.
Also, you were very distracted.
I was distracted by the ghost biz, by the ghosts.
Yes.
The ghosts distract me. But the purpose of the antique store in this episode is to have things show up that she can touch and then ghosts come.
Maybe. That's kind of what
we don't know.
But in this episode, she finds a compass and she's like, huh, I saw a compass on a window.
Yeah, that's actually exactly how she delivered the line too.
Then from there, we cut to him walking her to the house,
yeah,
which is a weird thing to do because it's backwards.
So we've gone day night.
We're at night. He's walking down quite a long road, carrying her blindfolded because he's showing her to the new house. This is the point in the episode.
Does
where
he not want her to know where she's never,
what is that previously don't know where they are?
He could just pull.
Why is she blindfolded? If she's so never, she doesn't see any ghosts along the way, guys.
He's over honestly. It. He's like, over it.
Stop ruining my moments.
Yeah. That's honestly might be the reason. They
the whole time.
Also, why carrying? She could just walk and he could just hold her hand.
Yeah, just hold her hand.
The last time I did a romantic thing for you, I took you on a Ferris wheel and the whole time you were just staring at the dead couple and telling me the statistics of deaths on Ferris wheels. I'm done with it.
But they get to the house and there's a little bit where he's like, close one of your eyes because it's still got construction. She's like, oh, I closed the wrong eye. Let's talk about the house for one thing. We've established that they don't have money for a honeymoon.
As Kat said, it's a construction site. It's not a safe home.
But it's still, I don't...
it's a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
It is. It's two stories and big, tall ceilings.
Mm. Safe to say someone died in that house and left it to them?
Oh, you have to assume.
Yeah.
But no,
he's been working night shifts.
He's been working night shifts in order
months of nights.
To afford... Mm-hmm. No, I'm sick of TV shows and I'm sick of... Here's the
I'm
thing.
Sick of this podcast. That's like the natural progression of what you were saying.
This is a very good start to the
TV
good podcast.
I'm sick of TV shows.
I'm sick of you guys.
I'm sick of this. You start throwing your mic around.
In the 90s and the early 2000s, how much did houses cost? Because it's I'm done. I just watched A Christmas Vacation the other day. You should have seen the size of their fucking house. Mm. Biggest house I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can't even buy a one-bedroom apartment, guys.
Maybe it's a location thing. It's a location thing.
Yeah.
Maybe this mansion is
where is
really
this show
far away.
Set?
Easy to film in bigger sets.
Where is this show set? Where are the ghosts?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Definitely not Chicago.
Gotta be Chicago.
The accent isn't strong enough.
All right, so she sees her new beautiful mansion with her new handsome husband, who's a paramedic, and they're excited.
She's like, I like it. I can't wait till it's finished. And he's like, no, we're staying in here tonight.
Yeah. Let's go up to the creepy.
There's like this family of raccoons just in their bedroom. It's like, ignore it.
There's plastic sheets everywhere. It's freezing cold.
They don't have windows.
They don't have windows at parts. But they go up and they go to bed here.
Yeah, no, but their bed's set up and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been very busy.
It's the classic 90s bedroom with the massive gothic bedhead and then just 1,000 candles.
Yeah. What the fuck was with all the candles?
Yeah. And they're sleeping with them lit. That's dangerous.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We're setting it up that she has nightmares. And in her nightmares, she gets aggressive and she gets violent. Mm-hmm. And she wakes up from the nightmare. What is the nightmare? I don't quite remember.
I remember the nightmare she has later.
One. Yeah. But I don't remember this first nightmare.
Can't tell you, man.
But during the nightmares, people talk very strange. Like their faces stay very neutral when they talk. It is kind of creepy. The second nightmare, I remember actually getting a little bit of a spook.
A little spooky spook.
A little bit of a startle. But anyway, it's a small nightmare.
It's only a little nightmare. She wakes up from it and he's lying next to her and they have a conversation. He's like, oh, usually you beat the shit out of me while you're sleeping.
Which I've come to love. Yeah. But it's tedious.
And
that's
then
she's
like, I'm faking the nightmares. It was creepy.
Yeah, weird dialogue going on.
What? She says, I'm faking them?
Yeah, like as in, I just want to hit you.
Yeah.
Did you miss that? Right.
Honestly, there's some really weird dialogue going on.
Just like I fake sex. And it was just really mean and spiteful of her to say that in that moment.
And so then she eventually goes on to brush her teeth. Is that this scene?
Yeah, with boiling hot water.
Does she wake up from a nightmare and go and brush her teeth with boiling hot water?
Yeah, she gets up and he's like, I'm still in your side of the bed. And she goes and she puts boiling hot water in the sink to brush her teeth.
Yeah. Because we need this.
We need the condensation.
So
yeah.
What is the theory for her? Is she like...
Did she not brush her teeth before bed?
Yeah, but she's gotten up to have a midnight brush, but she's like...
Who the fuck is a midnight brush?
Well, because she has to turn she's like, well, I have to run hot water in case there's a message for me at some point.
Yeah, cool.
So I may as well brush my teeth.
And what is there?
She has a system.
What is the message? Is it just the compass again?
It's the compass again.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, this might be connected to the compass.
And she's like, huh, never in my home before.
Yeah. And then we cut to her like chilling with Aisha again?
Yeah, I think they're in the coffee shop. And she's explaining that it was
Does she see the ghost in the house at this point? Or is that a bit later?
No, that's a bit later. There's a lot of
that. That's later as well. Yeah.
There's a lot of fat.
She's just
so
in the...
back to daytime.
Cut
back to day and she's hanging out with Aisha Taylor
in
a
coffee shop. And we can fast play this. She's just like telling her about the situation at Semper Minute House before. And she's like, are there ghosts here? And she's like, yeah, there's two. And Aisha's like, she's like, no, there is.
Yeah. No, bro. There's like, literally two. And guess what? I'm not going to help him.
And there was like,
I can do that one thing that no one else can do. And I see desperate ghosts everywhere. Fuck them.
I think out of the two ghosts, one of them was still trying to talk to their son and was
confused.
She's
like, and he doesn't know why he can't hear them. Anyway.
And Aisha's like, that is hilarious.
Yeah.
White girls are crazy. Let's go.
But that's the thing. Yeah. She's within two steps of a ghost that spends his entire day talking to his son in another language.
And wondering why he can't hear him.
Eternally depressed because his son has stopped talking to him and no one will talk to him. And she's just like, ghosts are wacky, huh? Okay, so about this compass.
That's why it's my favorite thing, her reluctance to help anyone. And she's reluctant is so huge.
Dude, I assume that she wasn't helping because she wasn't getting paid because she runs a ghost business.
No, dude.
No.
Fuck my shit.
She deals in antiques.
She just really doesn't want to help people. And don't you think that's kind of cute?
It's cute. It is cute.
It's a little cute twist on the whole I see ghost thing to her just being like, what? Nope.
Yeah.
So eventually she...
ghosts, my only fear. Why me? Of all things.
She just fears them because they're tedious. They're always just being like, tell her to drink champagne in the evening. She's like, I don't give a shit.
Do you think I fucking care if your wife's happy? I've never met this woman, okay? I don't give a fuck. People die. Get over it.
Yeah.
So we eventually go back to bed. This bitch is sleeping half this episode.
We're in bed and it's raining.
It's raining throughout this entire episode as well.
Well, she wakes up and her husband's not there.
Where is her husband?
Her husband's outside.
Yeah, and so she goes down the stairs. And
in a lightning storm on a ladder, fucking moron.
Yeah, because...
begging to die.
It's so stupid.
It can fucking wait. He could not want out of this marriage hard enough.
Yeah, because the thing is, in this episode...
My job's too stressful, I need to die.
We all assume he's going to die, and so he keeps doing stuff that should kill him in this episode.
Yeah.
And so at this point, he's gone out in the middle of the night... And
he's holding a metal rod.
He's holding a metal rod. And he's
go back to sleep, honey.
She like goes to open the window and just takes it off in her hands and just casually holding it.
Yeah.
Like, and they need to go back to wherever they were living before.
And he's like, just go back to bed. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And he's fucking drenched fixing the side of the house because he's like, the windows fell off or something. And so she's like, okay, well, this one fell off in my hand. More weird dialogue happens here where he's like, that's the way I planned for it to be.
But like, you have to remember, it's a massive storm. So he'd be screaming all of these lines at the top of his lungs.
The neighbors like look out and they're like, this new fucking couple are so weird. Yeah. You would not believe the shit I've seen. For one thing, he walked down the entire street holding her. Entire street.
We called the police.
And I swear to God, I think she was blindfolded.
I think he was buying time because I saw him walk in circles a few times. I don't think she would have known. Wow, she was blindfolded.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe it. Like, they have fires going all night. All fucking night.
It's dangerous.
Shit's crazy.
So he brought her to the house, put her in the house, and then I only assume walked all the way back to the car.
Yeah. Why is the car so far away?
He's like, now you get comfortable. I just need to quickly go grab the car because the spot's just opened up out front.
And she's just in the house being like, I'm scared and it's so cold.
Yes. There might be ghosts in here. They're everywhere. Speaking of, she rips out the window. They have a little bit of a joke. He's like, well, I got to get back to nailing at 2 a.m. doing construction work on the house. And she's like, cool. So she turns around and we finally see another ghost. We've been waiting for it. This is a spooky ghost. His face is all kind of like fucked up. And he's talking to Jennifer Love Hewitt. For those of
and
you
at this
playing
point,
along,
you're wondering, is this the guy from Prison Break?
Yeah.
God damn it, it is.
I didn't know until his face wasn't fucked up anymore.
And he's all weird and he's like...
He's dressed in military garb.
Yeah, and he can't really talk at this point. He's like... help me. And she's basically, and her response is like, actually, you're not supposed to be in my house.
Yeah, the reluctance again.
This
it's so cute.
Is a little rude.
Yeah, she's like,
showing up right now.
It's actually quite late.
At least let me get dressed.
And so he wants her help, and he's like, you gotta help me.
And he says, they told me you could help me.
She said, and no, she says, who? Who told you that I'd help you? Because I will not. I refuse.
I love our reluctant little ghost whisperer. Yeah, I love her.
She's like, if you want help, come to the antique store and buy something, motherfucker. Because that's what I'm... You know how I can do something no one else in the world can do? Not interested. I sell antiques. Yeah. That's what I do.
She working in a referral system. Like, she's like, excuse me, who? I would like to know their name and number and I would like to talk to them first just to make sure you're credible.
So eventually
she's like a drug dealer.
Eventually he drops a message and he's like, my wife is going to give birth. I need to see her or something like that, or I need to tell her some shit. And so then now Ghost Whisperer, she's got the task of finding out who his wife is. Because he doesn't know the address,
but
I guess.
But he gives her the name.
He gives her the name. Oh, his name? He
like
gives
Paul
her his name?
Paul Adams or something?
Which would be his name.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm Paul name. Adams. I'm a soldier.
He's like, I'm Paul Adams. Yeah. Address
really
is
happens.
Over here.
Yeah.
Beep, butt, boo, pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Get on the case.
That's all he kind of gives her. But then, like, did you guys see the background change with all, like, the leaves and stuff happening behind her?
No.
Mark was looking at one thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Prison Break. I love that show.
Is he the younger brother in Prison Break, just to give people an image?
Yeah, he's Wentworth Miller.
Okay.
So what happened in the background? All leaves and shit are coming behind her.
Yeah, because he kind of corners her and she's backing up into like the tarp and then the tarp
just
starts projecting. Yeah.
Dumb.
It goes.
She knows nothing about ghosts.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Dumb. But then in the background, like projections of leaves and forestry happen in the background. I thought it was a quite a cool effect. Completely out of nowhere and out of context.
Is that when he's saying like, I remember seeing a waterfall? That comes later, right?
So that's later.
Is it? I'm just mixing everything.
I don't know.
No, I feel like the leaves thing did happen.
Who gives a shit?
Hey.
That's true.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be talking
shows.
You
know what? Let's end it there.
Hey. Thanks for listening at home. And so she's now got the task of this. She's like, okay, I guess I'll help this ghost. So he'll fuck off. And I think
still at this point, she's kind of reluctant to be doing it. Yeah, but he keeps popping up and being like, so did you check on that thing?
Committed until the dog thing happens.
Oh, yeah. We're back in daytime.
Yep.
And bang. She's driving to the antique store.
Smash cut. Flash bang. Daytime.
And then out
she's
of nowhere.
She's on the phone to Aisha.
Yeah, she's on the phone to Aisha. And then out of nowhere.
While driving?
Yes. In the early noughties.
Yeah, nice.
And then out of nowhere, a Labrador or a Golden Retriever.
Labrador.
Labrador.
Golden Retriever.
Sprints past the car and then just kind of goes past a statue of some soldiers.
And is it a ghost dog?
I don't know.
That was very Jiminy Glick. Do you know Jiminy Glick?
And was it a ghost dog?
I could only assume. I thought that the dog would just keep coming back and guide her to things.
Yeah, I don't know. If
I hope the dog's are
honestly, if they add a dog into the show, I'm out.
By the way,
like we've got enough going on. Why does there need to be a little dog?
By the way, I have a hot theory on who is sending people her way. And I think just her squib-eyed, and Squib is just being like, go to my granddaughter.
Oh. She hates.
So she sees soldiers and she's like, oh yeah.
Well, she sees his name.
She sees his name.
Yeah.
The and dog?
Then- no, I think she parks the car and goes and looks at the monument and she sees the name.
Yeah. And then is immediately able to find his son.
No, yeah. She goes and looks it up.
Oh yeah, this is the Google scene.
Oh, this is the Google.
And so yeah. she's like, okay, so
she puts the exact same thing into three different sections.
For the record, Mark and I did not see this.
It's just
scene
getting
and we don't
confusing,
know why.
So I want to quickly take the audience through the crazy things that
you
got to
slow it down for Shannon.
Let's slow it down for Shannon Connolly.
Yeah.
So she saw a ghost multiple times who asked to help her, and she was like, "Oh, I'm absolutely not going to do that." Then she's driving and dog come and dog point her towards name. And she's like, oh, name. All right, I guess I'll help him.
I want to say Paul Adams.
Paul Adams.
Thank God she nearly hit that dog, right? Otherwise, how would she have helped this ghost?
And so now she's like, okay, now I know the name. I'm going to help him. And so she has to find out where he lives in order to tell his wife that congratulations on having kid.
Husband dead. Wah-wah.
And so she looks it up on Google a couple of times, his name.
Yeah.
And eventually finds like a place.
It's some classic hacker editing though.
Yeah.
Like she's really cracking the system on this one.
She's searching the same
one
thing.
One search engine, it cuts back to her face. She's like, God damn it, that's not it.
Damn it, I have to Bing it.
You always have to try Bing.
That's
was it. Once Ask Jeeves fails, you go to Bing.
Yeah.
And so eventually she finds like a location that she can go ask some guy about where he lives. And this guy, for some reason, has all the information and she gives him the home address. And on her way out, she sees another motherfucking ghost.
Yeah, a bit more reluctance over here.
And this ghost,
it's a bit of a Karen. Dude, and she's like, can you fucking see me?
No, but dude.
Can fucking see me.
This is another example of like, this motherfucker, Jennifer Love Hewitt, her entire life she's seen ghosts and has helped multiple ghosts out, you have to assume.
Yeah.
And so this lady is like, hey.
Real simple request.
I really need your help, okay? So we've got a safe deposit box here. And my husband here, he doesn't know where the key is, but I know where the key is. So you.
He's looked in his bedside drawer three times.
Yeah, so all you need to do is tell him that it's in the pocket of my shirt. That's all you have to
do. And she does the equivalent of like putting her hand over her face and looks in the other direction to this ghost. And she's like, I know you can see me.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is like, there's no, how could I do that? How could I tell him that without weirding him out? And the woman's like, I don't give a fuck if he's weirded out. It doesn't matter. Just tell him.
But she's been doing this for like 20 years now. At what point does she just work out to not make these conversations awkward? Surely it's a practice.
But you just made me realize the most infuriating thing of this whole thing to me, which is that none of the ghosts find it weird that they're ghosts. Not one of them is being like, oh, they all just go, you can see me, you can help me.
Yeah. No,
this is completely normal.
Huge inconsistency because some of them don't.
Really?
Well, like he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, he's pretty ghost
Paul
confused.
Paul Adams, he's ghost confused. Whereas She and the other like,
came, oh, no, okay.
Huge inconsistency.
They explain, dude, they explain they Paul explain Adams a bit later on, bit and it makes no
oh, can I do yeah, another yeah, huge yeah, yeah. inconsistency though? She said before they know that they're ghosts, they look scary.
Yeah.
But the guy talking to his son that has no idea that he's dead looked
completely
normal.
He didn't look scary,
normal.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird.
Lock him up.
Lock them up. Okay, but so she's having this conversation. This lady's like, just fucking, just I don't understand why you're not helping me. It's so easy. Just turn to him and tell him where the key is. And Jennifer Love Hewitt,
yeah, she tries to do some bullshit.
She's just like, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I don't want to. She's a reluctant queen.
I don't want to do it.
He already gave me what I wanted. So I'm kind of done talking to him. But eventually she turns around. She's like, don't even ask me how I know this.
I see no, she doesn't. First she says, sometimes when I lose things, I put them in pockets of coats.
Oh, yeah. And the lady's like, what the fuck are you
they
doing?
They both say
woman?
It in unison,
yeah.
which I did think was cute. They're yeah, was a long time couple. They get annoyed at the same thing. Yeah.
They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, okay, there's no way for me to know this, but you're a safety.
Your fucking dumb dead wife told me that it's in a blue coat.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
And the guy's
she
like,
told me she never loved yeah. you.
And then she, Then she bails straight away, which is so shitty because here's the thing.
Oh, yeah, he'd have questions.
This guy's fucking found out that his ghost wife exists.
Yeah.
He's just found that out.
What if he had things he wanted to say to her?
Of
she's
course
right
he
there
did.
The
she's
room.
Not in the business of giving dude. Closure. She sells antiques.
Dude, of course she wants just, of course he, you'd think that as she's leaving, he'd be like, please, please don't go. I just want to talk to her or something like that. Or that she'd be like, hey, by the way, ghost whisperer. You've helped me out. Sick. Can I just have one conversation with this dude? But she's like, don't ask me how I know. Okay, and now I have to go because I have to sell antiques.
But Mark, you do
I'm
it for one
really...
person, you gotta yeah, do it for all of them.
She like... should start a ghost business.
She's like, I'm in a kind of massive time crunch because this guy died in Vietnam. Yeah. I've got to deal with that.
Yeah.
But Mark, with great power comes great responsibility. Uncle Ben, like you can't just
money.
Go willy-nilly.
Yeah. Ghost.
What are the ghosts paying her with in this scenario, Mark?
Dude.
I'm legitimately crossing over.
But it's, also, like, her husband is a paramedic, so he knows where all the dead people are.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they could absolutely pair up and...
No, but what are the
ghosts
paying her
in? Their first date was a ride-along, and she was just like, no. Too many.
I'm not helping.
No, I really want to get to how the logistics of your ghost business works, Mark.
This is how the ghost business works, okay. Ghost comes in.
It's like just a sign out the front that says, I can see you if you're dead.
Yeah.
A lot of people are confused by it, but ghosts go,
yeah.
People just see the door opening
that's
and closing.
I think that's
they're like,
me.
That's weird.
Ghost goes in.
No, they just see a lot of messages being like, do you have an appointment open being yeah. written on the window?
Yeah. This is how I imagine the business works, okay? So the ghosts walk in. They get to a waiting room. Aisha Taylor is sitting there. She takes the appointments. Of course, in front of her, there is a big pane of glass.
Yes.
And the
okay,
ghost,
thank you.
And she's constantly running hot water. Yeah. And the ghosts come and write their messages on it. And she goes, yeah, okay, you can go see her now. The ghost will go in and then...
They can hear me, right? It's like, yes, they can hear
you. Yeah, yeah.
Because Jennifer's there. She's just in the other room.
In the other room. And they make appointments and they go in and they talk to Jennifer. And Jennifer goes, shut the fuck up. I'm not helping you unless...
I need some of
you
that pay will,
me.
Baby.
And
you
they
put
go,
me in
okay,
the will.
Okay, we'll pay you. And then she just gets the phone number of the person and she calls them up.
How do they pay?
Yeah, how do they pay? Well,
the person, she'll call up and she'll go, hey, is this Matthew? And then Matthew will go, yeah. And
he'll want like, some closure?
And he'll be like, all right, well, listen, you're probably not going to believe me, but I've got your dead mother here. Before the call, she's...
Click.
No, before the call, she's been given three things like that only the dead mother could know. And so she's like, before you hang up, I've asked her to give me three things that only she could know. She lists them off and be like, and that's all I'm telling you until you come down here and pay me. She hangs up and then they
you love grapes. This is your birthday yeah. and you have a baby dick.
Yeah. And
click.
And they come down.
I will tell everyone. I got ghost secrets.
And they come down and they'll pay her. And then when they pay her, that's when she'll like be the mediator in a conversation between them.
Okay. I'll pay
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's
better than an antique store.
Look, she's still living off that paramedic salary, but sometimes it works out.
So she goes to visit what she believes is Paul Adams' house because she's...
No, she knows he's Vietnam at this point.
She knows he's Vietnam?
It was on the fucking plaque. Cool. She's fucking stupid.
So she goes in and she's like, okay, well...
She ain't keeping brains in those todays.
Yeah. Well, she goes to see Paul Adams' son.
Keeping other stuff.
And Paul Adams' son.
Yeah, something like that, probably.
She goes up and she's like, hi, is this so-and-so address? Do the Adams live here? And then he's like, well, they did. And she's like, oh, no. And he's like, yeah, they died. Do you want to buy the house?
And he said, which I'm Balthazar Getty. Next year, I get huge.
Who's Balthazar Getty? What's he from?
He was the star, one of the stars of Brothers and Sisters, which started the next year.
Okay.
So he's in a wildly small role. He's also part of the Getty family.
Ah, cool.
Like
cool,
Getty
cool.
Images. And plus, your name's Balthazar. That's
cool.
Sick.
He's cool also name. In Charmed later on.
Oh, really?
As well.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a reoccurring character in Charmed called Balthazar as well?
Yeah, that's Julian McManus.
Yeah, that's funny.
Demon, but then Balthazar, Balthazar Getty is a witch, like
surely
a man witch later on.
Ooh. He must find that weird.
Sexy man witch.
They named it after my weird ass.
Apparently, everyone on the Brothers and Sisters cast hated him.
Oh,
never seen it.
Yeah, and would you really say that he blew up?
That show was huge for a second.
So she goes to this house and she starts talking to him and. At this point, she's not dropping the...
She's acting like a reporter at this point. Yeah. Like she's doing a piece on the Vietnam War. Yeah. Something like that.
And she's like...
No, I'm just, she doesn't say that, but she's...
I think she does. I think she says like...
a high school
she says
teacher
she works for like... Yeah. For some...
Doing some research.
She works for someone that's looking into it or some shit.
Yeah.
And the minute she says that, he starts just dropping knowledge about his dad that he never met, just being like, boy, if you find out anything else about my dad, please tell me.
Yeah.
And then he gets a little bit personal and says, it's crazy how much you'll miss someone you never met. And he's like, damn.
So he does Balthazar. This little drop on her. And,
Balthazar.
And then he walks away and he goes up to his wife who's pregnant. And that's when it clicks in her mind. And she's like, oh, it's not. He must, the husband. Oh,
cosmic
must have,
energy.
Must have come by here and he must have seen the pregnant woman and assumed it was his wife. Now, I don't know if it's this exact scene, but then they drop some. Weird lore.
Yeah, no, because when someone in your family lineage has like a major event happen to them, then it sparks cosmic energy that then can awaken a ghost spirit. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, guys.
That's right. Babies.
Keep up.
Well, yeah, don't worry, Kale. I knew.
Yeah. That was a lot where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, what? That
no,
just
it's all
happens.
About the babies.
It's about
whenever the babies. When the babies come
specifically
out.
Specifically babies?
Yeah, it's, so only, like a life it's only baby magic stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does this honestly happen a lot in this show?
Like it happens all in real magic. Life, Mark, actually.
In the second episode, there is a child ghost.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
How old?
He needs like 7.
Right.
Disgusting. Yeah. And so now she's like, job well done, I guess. She's like, oh, I found out that he's dead.
Swoosh. I can tell him now. Hopefully he'll resolve his biz and I'm pissed off.
He'll fuck off. And so, but she doesn't have like an end to him. She just needs him to show up again, right?
Pretty much that's the whole plot. It's like, I just have to wait for him to find me. That's how her shit works. It's great.
And she'd be thankful if he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's over it.
Yeah.
She goes home and then her husband is all sad on the couch.
Oh, having a beer. Yeah.
Having a beer in the dark.
Dark. That's dark.
Yeah.
That's dark.
Dark just early signs of alcoholism. He deals with death every day.
He's just trying to kill himself.
Oh, and then, this is where he starts being like, I deal in death and you deal in death. Like,
like it's the first time they've come to that fucking conclusion.
And it was this weird thing as well because he's like,
I was just sitting here drinking my beer. Being kind of deep.
Yeah, and it gets really poignant. Yeah. She's like, oh, we're not dealing in death. We're in the business of life.
Yeah, but he's like, I almost lost another one today, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm sad. And you're like, I'm sorry.
How did he nearly die? Well, it sounds he was like choking on a hot dog. And
but also, is that not being a paramedic?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's all your job is. And it sounds like you did good at your job today.
Yeah.
You saved everyone.
He said that I didn't want him to die because all I thought about was him haunting you.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like,
you're in the wrong
business. Okay, well, don't let him die.
Guess what? They've also established that in this universe, when you die, you can come back as a ghost and then you get to pass on to like a dope place as well.
Yeah.
Like,
what a terrible amount of pressure to put on someone though as well. It's like, I'm going to quit my job, which we need. We need me to work. I'm doing it because of you though, because I don't want the people that die on my hands to come and then become your problem.
Gonna
it's
die
your fault
anyway.
Actually.
But also if as a paramedic, your main motivator is I don't want these people to come to my wife for help.
If he was just talking about the stresses of his job, completely understandable.
Yeah.
But every single time he talks about his job, he's like, I gotta quit. I need to fucking quit. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe he should.
He should quit.
Maybe he should, because it's a bit too much for him.
If while you're reviving someone, the first thing you think and like the main thing you think is like, I hope this person doesn't die, and then request help from my wife later down the track. Yeah.
What an incredible. Well,
while they're sitting on this gold mine of a business that they could have.
And it could happen at any moment because this guy's from Vietnam.
He's doing CPR and he's just whispering in the ear. He's like, you better fucking live. And if you die, do not fuck my wife.
Let's pretend for a second that she didn't talk to his brother at the start in the wedding.
Yeah.
What an incredible gaslight to convince him to keep his job by just being like, your dead brother said that you're really good at it and that you should keep doing it.
And let me say, she has done that. She's definitely done that, because of course you would.
Oh, because you could get away with it. If this guy's like 100% like, my partner can speak to ghosts. I'm like, no, that's real.
I'm like, I want pizza tonight. And the other person's like, I want burgers. And I'm like, well, your dead mother told me.
Yeah. Ooh, shut-na-na-na. Ghost just told me that pineapple on pizza can actually cause cancer. So,
but we actually did miss something early on. At the wedding, the brother said something to Ghost Whisperer. He said, there's going to come a time where the job becomes too much for him. And when that happens, I want you to tell him that I said that.
But keep in mind, she did say to him, you should tell him that.
Mm. Yeah. And so at this point, she's like,
big reveal.
She's like, okay.
Don't you quit jobby? Me no likey.
She's like, don't ask me how I know this. But
no, she doesn't say that. She says
she says that to everyone. But this
one's so funny because like the reveal's supposed to be for us, because she's like, your brother told me blah blah blah, like you should never quit your job or whatever dumb shit. And then he says, but you never met my brother. He died before we met.
And then he goes, wait. Oh.
Yeah.
And she goes, he's been around this whole time. And you're like, why didn't you tell him? Why now?
Ghost sex.
She's been fucking. She's been fucking. Brother.
That's who she's been fucking.
No, but that's the thing as well. Cause she's like, he's always around, and I'm like, how around is he? Always?
Also, the whole thing is that
just like watching them fuck.
Yeah,
nice.
You're supposed to be around until you solve some like deep kind of trauma. His
trauma was to make sure his brother didn't quit his job that he didn't like,
and also to find someone he loves.
No, I'm telling you, this brother's going to keep reoccurring.
I reckon.
Well, I think we see him pass into the light when he starts walking down that same road like his brother did earlier.
I think he starts walking away. Because after this, so just to summarize it, I don't know if we did a good enough job, where she's like, your brother once told me.
We did a great job, Mark.
Thank you, we did a good job.
This is a very good podcast.
Thanks, Kat.
We're getting good.
So she basically says, like, you know, your brother told me that one day you would say that the job's too much, but you take fear away from people. And that's when the fucking thing drops in the mind of the audience, where you're like, holy shit, she was talking to the dead brother at the wedding.
Let the stress kill you.
Exactly. You know how you generally don't like this job? Like, it doesn't seem like a good fit.
Yeah.
And also, you're not making much money for some reason.
It's like you got into the work because of the traumatic event of your brother dying, so maybe it's not like the healthiest relationship you have with the job because you couldn't save him, so you want to save others. Maybe reliving that trauma every single day isn't the best thing for you.
Especially when there's so much money in it.
Your brother said you should keep at it, so... Come on, get back on that horse.
So that's pretty much finalized the brother plot for this episode. The brother walks off into the distance, and me and Kale think that he goes into the afterlife. Cassie's not convinced. She thinks there's going to be a threesome at some point.
Yeah.
The brother's just going to show up every time. The guy's like, I really think I should quit. And he's come home from work and he hasn't cleaned up properly. There's blood still on him.
He doesn't have the right intentions in that job. He should quit.
But now we have to finalize the... Wentworth Miller plot line of being
I like to call it the Wentworth Miller Balthazar Getty plot line. But
Balthazar Getty plot line of the soldier. So she eventually finds the soldier again. The soldier, I'm assuming, comes to her.
She explains to the soldier that, oh, by the way, bro, you're actually dead. That's not your wife. That's your son's wife. And he's like, what about my wife? She's dead too.
She is so dead. You wouldn't believe how dead she is.
Yeah, recently too.
Yeah. Oopsie. Yeah. You should have come back earlier.
Yeah.
He's like, well, no, because he's going to see her when they go to the
And he's like, can you talk to her? Is she here? And he's like, I don't know, dickhead. Can you see her? Like, no, she's not here. Like, what the fuck?
What an absurd question.
Yeah, but then I got a bit confused at this bit because then we've got the FBI involved at this point. What's happening?
What do they say?
Call the Pentagon.
Call the Pentagon.
Yeah.
She talks to Wentworth Miller and kind of gets the location of his last memory. Yeah. Like, what do you remember? Oh, we were in the plane or the helicopter and then something crashed and I see a waterfall and we were in this part of Vietnam.
And the last thing I thought is I won't meet my son.
I love my life, but my life is taken away from me.
We're fighting a war we shouldn't really be a part of and we're just killing civilians for no reason. It's like, and that am I, have a son on the waves.
It was a lot to take in. So she gathers all of that and she's like, okay, great. Well, I have all this information. Goes back to Balthazar Getty.
Yeah.
And then they have a confrontation at his front door.
And he's angry at her because he's like, can you fuck off?
Yeah. And she's just like, call the Pentagon. Call the Pentagon. Find the location.
Honestly. And so she's like, do Pentagon. And they're like, yeah, that checks out.
No, but here's the thing.
It's like, we'll absolutely contact the Vietnamese government and get right on that for you.
Dude, if you called the Pentagon and were like, you're not going to believe this.
Mr. Pentagon,
I have the exact location of a plane that went down in the Vietnam War. The Pentagon's response would be like, we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was like 30 years ago minimum.
Why the
fuck? And imagine the Pentagon calling Vietnam. It's like, oh, hey, Vietnam. Yeah. So remember that little tiff that we had a couple of years back? There's a few bones under a waterfall that I want you to go and collect for us. If you could send that back ASAP, that'd be great.
We want the plane back. And then Vietnam's like, why? And they're like,
We got a call.
Yeah, listen, you're not going to believe this. We got a call about the location of it. And then Vietnam are like, no, but why do you want it?
Yeah.
Like, what's in the plane?
And they're we can have a late funeral, probably. Yeah, we want to do what's right by our civilians.
Just like my husband really suffers from never having met his father.
Yeah.
If you hear him talk about it, it's devastating.
Vietnam are like, dude, there's like loads of planes out there. Like, don't you remember how much we were shooting each other's planes down? It's like all we did.
Yeah, they're not going to deal with the landmines in Cambodia. They're going straight for this random plane. Yeah.
Like, what are they doing? Like, okay, so... Where was it?
It's at a waterfall. Okay, we got a few of those. Like, what is...
The fuck do you want? We'll get the plane back for you. Like, you want the bones? I guess we want the bones. It's always been about the bones.
It's more about the tech, but we'll take the bones.
There's no tech. The tech is so old. Yeah. There's no way that the conversation goes any way other than the Pentagon just being like, okay.
Yeah.
You realize we're not doing anything about that, right?
Also, how did you get this number?
Yeah. Did you get the number to the Pentagon?
The number is just 1,
unfortunately,
2, 3,
unfortunately, we
4,
don't
5.
Act on hunches.
No, it'd be 5555. It's the Pentagon.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It works.
Okay, so she first of all, the way it works as well is she's like, you have to call the Pentagon and you have to get the location of your dad.
And then he flips out.
And he's like, how fucking dare you? What are you even doing here? You think you're going to get money by telling me about my dead dad? Why are you doing this? Leave me. Then eventually...
He also says some more deep shit. Like, I've had a hole in my heart for my entire life. I tell this to you and you take advantage of me.
And then eventually he comes back to her house and he meets her and he's like, I called the Pentagon.
My wife convinced me to call the Pentagon because she's really into this ghost shit.
Yeah.
And we just had their number lying around. So
but
I
also,
thought,
how did he
find
her house?
Yeah.
Like,
how the fuck did he find her house?
The Pentagon.
Yeah, he got someone on the Pentagon on that line and they were like, Funnily enough,
the Vietnamese government knew where she lived.
Twist.
But it's so silly. So he goes and talks to her and he's like, yeah, I talked to the Pentagon and guess what? They think you're on something. they think those locations might be where my dad is. And then so they're having a conversation and he's like talking about the hole in his heart. And then...
How did you fucking know this?
And then he's doing a fucking magic trick. Wentworth Miller comes out from the side of her. Like he was hiding behind her the whole time.
I wish he was there when it went terribly wrong and he was just sitting there going, ooh, this is not going well.
You really fucked that.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't ready. Really-
He wasn't there when the sun was yelling at
a
random
fumbled
woman.
The ball on
no,
that
he's
one,
a fair weather
from.
Fan of this woman. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's going well now. I'm going to pop out. Because he was behind her when the sun was freaking out too.
He was just doing all the movements perfectly. Even though he didn't have to because the sun couldn't see.
He was hiding behind curtains. Yeah. if you freeze frame right there, you can see his boots.
So they have this conversation where like he's talking about his dad and then Wentworth Miller pops out from behind the ghost whisperer. And that's when she gets to do what I assume her business should be.
Yeah.
Where she's the mediator between the conversation.
But until she starts crying at the end, she does seem really apathetic about the whole thing. She's like, You can just tell him he's right fucking... Yeah, he's here. He's right next to me.
She is a reluctant queen.
But do you not know how this fucking works?
How his eye contact is locked. For the rest of it, when he's just staring at a space next to... Like, that doesn't work like that if you're just staring at empty space.
It's
but
true.
He is making daggers into this one... It's like he picked a tree in the background. He goes, that's my dad. And he just starts talking at it.
It's a bit of a...
unraveling the entire thing.
It's a bit of a silly conversation as well because it's not quite as fulfilling as it should be where, like, the conversation kind of goes like this. He's like, I'm so basically playing Wentworth Miller. He's like, I'm so proud of the man you are. I can see you now. You've grown up to be quite a man.
The wisest Vietnamese soldier.
Yeah, and then
of all time.
And that's when the son's like, "Have you always been around?" He's like, "Well, no. I haven't.
Cosmic baby magic. Yeah, cosmic actually, baby.
So I've only known you for like a day now.
Yeah,
but you're fucking. Oh, by the way,
you're killing it. And by the way, everything you need,
yeah,
it's already inside you, pal.
Yeah, and just let me throw out one thing. Also, I think this is the first time I've ever seen you because I haven't been around all the other times.
I'm hoping you are my son. I'm assuming you're my son.
Yeah, hopefully the bitch got it right.
But at one point, the dad's like, tell him to go back to his wife and to love her. And he's like, no, I don't want to. I want to stay here and talk to my daddy. Yeah.
I want to stay with you, daddy. I want to stay with you.
Fuck her. I'm just learning the ghosts are real. Like,
there's money to be made here.
Yeah.
I just imagine
are you tapping into this? Why didn't you give me a card or fucking something?
I just imagine him calling the Pentagon and they're like, oh, yeah, ghosts are real. Okay, so it must be at this location.
We have a clairvoyant in Middle West America.
Like, the next episode's like, just snipers.
Like, yeah.
Do you know how much...
Do we see the ghost whisperer? Sir? No, let's see what she does.
Do you know how much money she could make of it?
Okay.
Like, no, I'm just saying my little idea earlier about this little ghost whisperer shop. Well,
what's that guy's name? That's crossing over.
That's what I'm saying. That little ghost whisperer shop is small potatoes. Like, she goes to the government and she proves it to them.
Yeah.
She's going to be the richest person in the goddamn world.
Oh, totally.
She'll be the next Captain
Military. Or she'd be assassinated. Because she goes to the White House, she'll start seeing some past president ghosts dropping secrets.
You know what she should do?
What's that?
Go on an episode of Real Housewives.
She should go on an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's you're dead.
I know how all of you are going to die.
You killed your
ex-husband.
You killed your ex-husband.
Now, we've missed a nightmare at somewhere here. There was a cool nightmare where she's like walking on the ceiling at one point.
And that's when her face is kind of doll-like. There's just no expression. She goes, who's telling you to look for me? And then she hears like a Belinda or some shit, like a loud... Someone's name is called and then it sounds like something's running at her. She wakes up, then her husband emerges from... That's where I got my little scare, my little startle.
I guess that's kind of like the overarching season plot.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit a little bit of that at the end as well. It was Squib, probably. But we're going to hit a bit of that at the end because this episode kind of ends by her getting Wentworth Miller to pass on.
Yeah.
And he passes on.
Because they retrieve the bones and they do a full army.
Yeah,
like,
they do retrieve them.
Funeral, what's it called? At least 30
years. Yeah, 21 gun salute type thing. And it's like, who's this for?
You know what I found a bit, because there are people in just the background actors.
Yeah.
They look depressed about this man that died over 33 years ago.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, if they are members of his family, wouldn't they be happy that they retrieved
the
bones, like, and they're like, stage, this is, look at what's like, I mean, I get the
like,
son being upset.
Like, what is the outcome you want, that he's been living another life in Vietnam and just hasn't contacted you guys?
There's one guy specifically who's just holding his hands and his just head is down and he keeps shaking his head like, why? And it's like, what do you mean why? It was the war.
I thought he was going to show up in any second. Yeah.
So he passes on eventually at his funeral.
Sees his wife in the light and walks off.
He's all happy. And there's also a weird bit here where a whole bunch of people look at her. And they like
a family. It's family. Like a family of.
It's a separate. Two. There's like a separate funeral thing going on.
Yeah.
I think next to there's just two funerals happening at the same time, really close to each other.
One of them's got fucking 21 gun salutes and shit. Yeah. And the other one's just like they're sitting
just,
there
they're just
flinching every time a gun goes off.
There's a husband
he died in a shooting.
Yeah. Like, shot horrendous. Down by the police. And he's like, oh fuck.
There's a husband and wife and two children, and the husband just like. Turns his head and locks eyes with her and just walks up without a word, but then gets real close and goes, you can fucking see us, can't you? And then she's like, ah, goddammit!
Stop making eye contact!
My antiques!
So that, I guess that's the pilot episode of The Ghost Whisperer, 2006. Cassie, what are you giving this one?
Okay, so like the plot made no sense and the dialogue was dog shit, but I do really like her being really reluctant to help anyone. I relate to that.
Yeah.
So I give it a 4.
Kale?
I think because the show just had so many weird things that you don't really care about at all. It's just because it's not like she works with the police force or anything, or there's anything special going. She just owns an antique store. An antique store.
That's
so
like
it's
like the big part of this show.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, what am I invested in? I guess just to see what other wacky ghosts appear in her life. I know that I'm just going to learn a bunch more about just her and her family. Like, I don't care about that. So it's a 2. It's a 2. No rewatchability.
I did end up just watching the second episode, which I think gets better, but I know that this first episode is pretty bad compared to the second one. Everything is just kind of getting set up and nothing is really happening that much. But I do love Jennifer Love Hewitt and I just like looking at her and parts of her. So I'd give it
80085.
Yeah, 80085. I would give it. I'd actually give it a 6.
6?
Yeah.
This one's getting a hot 4 for me. And part of that is that I did create a ghost business in my mind as the episode was going along.
Which
made a lot of sense to me. And without the ghost business, it is a much worse show. I will say, like, the idea of her running a ghost shop is way more fun than an antique store.
Both a ghost antique shop. Why not?
Sure. The dialogue.
Boys, like, Kale's right. Save this for NMW.
Ghost seers.
The dialogue's no good. It's very PG. It's like very PG.
Okay,
I'm just saying. Like
their form of ghost look scary is that he had a bit of eyeshadow on, and his voice was a bit raspy, which that cleared up pretty quick.
I want it to be a bit
more.
Yeah,
he looked like me after a big night, and that is scary though.
I want it to be a bit more spooky. I want the possibility of someone saying fuck at some point. You know what I mean? And like in this one, like someone might say like
someone gets hit by a car. She looks to the left, and then there's just this guy with guts hanging. She goes, "Oh, fuck!"
I would enjoy that a lot. So yeah, it's a 4 from me. I don't think this is a very good show. But if it's good enough to come out of a DVD player, if it's good enough to not come out of a DVD player.
Yes, to get mixed up with a DVD that did come out of a DVD player that my mum loves.
It's good enough for me.
It's good enough for us.
Thank you so much, Kat, for coming back on to our first episode of 2024. You might win a car this season from that one.
What episode are we up to?
Of the 100? Six? I will say that I don't think we have ever released less podcast episodes than in 2023.
No, COVID.
COVID, we didn't release many episodes last year. We'll have to see what happens in 2024. But as of now, thank you so much for listening. Welcome back to year 6 of Test Pilot.
It's probably.
Wow.
Might be year 6 of Test Pilot. Kayla's second year of Test Pilot.
Yeah,
boy. I thought
really
like as in your
beginning, my
no you're coming to the
seasons change.
You've almost done 2 years of Test Pilot yourself.
Crazy,
it's come around quickly. Thank you so much for listening at
home.
If you have any episode recommendations, write it to testpilotpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on our social media. Have a good start of your year, and as we say at the end of every episode,
peace out, you spooky bastards.